That's where it comes from for me, especially is my personality, I think, is a lot different than my dad's. My dad is a lot, just like his program fits his personality. He's very serious, structured, works hard, practices, and trains a lot. I was never as serious about it. Obviously, I want to win, I want to be the best, but I don't take it as serious sometimes, and I think that that helps with horse training.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to The Ride, a podcast brought to you by Horse and Rider Magazine, hosted by Nicole Cherico. In each episode, we chat with some of the industry's top trainers, clinicians, horsekeeping experts, and professionals to share inspiring stories, training philosophies, and the importance of living your best Western horse life. This episode of The Ride is brought to you by the League of Legends Invitation Horse Sale. Save the date, August 1st and 2nd in East Helena, Montana. It's the League of Legends Invitational Horse Sale, brought to you by Turner Performance Horses. Since 2017, this once-a-year event has gained a reputation for offering a hand-selected group of horses, customized and pre-screened to meet the needs of everyone from beginners to seasoned pros. Our 2025 lineup includes money earners in NRHA, NCHA, NRCHA, team roping, breakaway, calfaway roping, barrel racing, and even Run for a Million and World Show qualifiers. From versatile ranch and trail horses to show-ready athletes, even a standout pony and two one-of-a-kind gypsy geldings, these horses are trained, proven, and ready to go. Each horse undergoes a comprehensive vet exam and radiographs, and once soundness is confirmed, they're evaluated for mindset, disposition, and all-around ability to ensure the right fit for any rider in or out of the arena. Registered buyers get a full day to ride horses both in the arena and out on the trail, over logs, through water, and up hills, and can even schedule appointments in the days leading up to the sale for more one-on-one time in the saddle. Join us in beautiful Montana between Glacier and Yellowstone for a weekend of legendary horses, Western hospitality, great food, and family fun. Can't make it in person? Phone and online bidding are also available. Visit turnerperformancehorses.com/league-of-legends or email us at tphorse1@gmail.com to request a catalog. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Ride. This is your host, Nicole Cherico, and today I am sitting down with NRHA professional Luca Fapani. If that name sounds very familiar, it is because it is Andrea Fapani's son, who has recently gone out on his own, but has been training professionally for several years now under the guidance of Casey Deary. Thank you, Luca, for coming on and talking with us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me on your platform. It's an honor to be here.
So for those who maybe aren't familiar with the reining industry, can you talk a little bit about your upbringing in it? You've obviously been a part of a very legendary family and have now kind of branched out to do your own thing.
Yeah, sure thing. So I think just like any other horse industry, it's a lot more of a lifestyle than an occupation. And I saw that from a really young age on. My dad was always one of the hardest workers in the industry that I've experienced. So always working really early, always working late dinners, all that kind of stuff. But it was a really good way to grow up, because you see the compassion that all these people that work with my family, as well as my family themselves, have for their horses. We're on the road quite a bit. It's not as much as some industries like the rodeo or the cutters, but it's more than some of the less show type industries. So we usually go to at least a show per month, and they're about 10 days. So definitely grew up on the road quite a bit. And I learned how to ride when I was really young, but I didn't take it super serious until I was more like 12, 13. That's when I really got into it. So that's when I really got serious about riding. That's when I started practicing riding 3-4 horses a day, a little bit before school, a little bit after school. That was all as a youth, and then eventually as a non-professional. And at that point, I was pretty submerged in it. I would get up and ride at least a horse before school, usually starting around 5:30 to get that done, and then coming home and riding until 6 or 7 at night. It was definitely almost harder while I was in school than it is now, because I was focusing on doing two different things at once. So that's the way I kind of went through high school. And then once I graduated, I moved on to different open rider type stuff. But it was definitely a good upbringing. It teaches you to care for the animal, teaches you to treat something else with more respect than yourself even. So that's a really important deal. And I think that's a privilege that the horse trainer's kids get to grow up in.
So when did you kind of realize that this is what you wanted to do as like your career?
I would say when I was roughly 16 is when I started to really realize that this is what I loved and wanted to do. That's when I started to get more involved in two-year-old training. Before that, I was largely a showman. I would ride derby-aged horses, which for us is between 4 and 7. And so they're already trained. It's more of the maneuvers and technicalities and showing. But once I started learning how to train the horse's mind on a two-year-old, kind of starting with that blank slate and turning it into something that's broke to ride and that you love, I think is something that really catapulted my desire to be a horse trainer. So as I got more into that, and then once I was 17 and 18, once I was a senior, I knew that I wasn't going to go to college. I wanted to go work for another trainer, get deeper into the industry. But it's definitely the younger horses that made me know for sure.
So you obviously get to ride a wide range of horses. Do you find yourself gravitating towards those young ones and kind of getting to mold them? We are doing some video clips from the Along for a Ride symposium, and I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed watching you work with that 2-year-old that you had in the round pen. It was really good.
Thank you. Yeah. I definitely, by the end of the year when it's coming colt starting season, I really look forward to it. And it's probably my favorite part of the day, just because in reining, we're so particular about everything that they do. Every single stride is calculated, and you want them to be soft and in frame and all that kind of stuff, that when you get to get on the ground with a horse that's never experienced you before and not expect so much and be so specific, like you have to be with your show horses, that field goal, the goalpost is a lot larger with those young horses. Achieving something as small as lunging in a circle and watching them lick their lips and understand it, I really love. And I love working with that blank slate. So I definitely enjoy it a bunch. After a couple months, once they're kind of more broke, they kind of all mesh together. I like spending time on the derby horses. I like spending it on the two-year-olds. But then by the end of the year, when that time comes, I'm definitely ready to get back on the ground with new ones.
I like it. Your dad, Andrea Papani, obviously a legendary trainer in the reining world. Your mom, Tish, has been very successful in the non-pro pen. You have competed against both of them now, you know, competing in the open against your father and then competing as a non-pro when you were a youth rider against your mom. What was that experience like? Not a lot of people can say that they've done that.
Right. It's cool to be able to be on a team with somebody. I mean, it's such an individual sport, and usually in a lot of barns, you're the only non-pro, or there's only one open rider on the team. But having been able to be on as close to a team as you can get with my mom in the non-pro, and then my dad in the open, and Casey in the open as well, it's cool to have that camaraderie and support somebody else and want them to do good just as much as yourself, as well as having that person to push you when you get to train with somebody every day. Just like in the racehorse barns or professional athletes, you gotta train with somebody that pushes you and makes you better. I think if you kind of lock yourself away and do your own thing for too long, then you quit striving to be better, learn more, and having that person to compete with, bounce ideas off of. So I've always been blessed to have somebody in my area that I'm able to work with that knows more than me, has been in it longer than me, and be able to be the student rather than the expert. So that's the best part of being able to train with my mom, my dad, Casey, is I've always been able to look up to somebody and have somebody tell me their suggestions and where I can be better.
So speaking of Casey, when you decided to become a professional, you went to work for Casey Deary in Texas. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like working for a trainer outside of your family? I would assume that their training programs differ, but also probably have similar aspects to it. You know, what was that like?
Yeah, it was really eye-opening for sure. And that was the whole goal, was to go somewhere where they're successful and at a very high level, but also it's a lot different than what I already knew. So to go from my dad, whose program is known to be a lot more structured, specific, he's more of a perfectionist, I think, than a lot of other guys. So to go from that to Casey, who I learned is the opposite of that. He's a lot more just going with the flow, a lot less strict of a program. Each horse he treats fairly different rather than having a little bit more structure. So it was a super, super different experience for me. And I was able to pick up a lot from that, of new ways of training, new ways of thinking about the horse, especially horse showing. The way he thinks about it is a lot less specific and rigorous, and it's more confident and kind of carefree is the way that he treats it. So being able to go through those different programs that where they both have huge success, but they're also polar opposites, I was able to bring in some different aspects that I train like now, and that really helped me form my own program.
How has that, like, specifically kind of helped you create the program that fits your riding after training and working under two very different personality types and right. approaches?
That's where it comes from for me, especially, is my personality, I think, is a lot different than my dad's. My dad is a lot, just like his program fits his personality. He's very serious, structured, works hard, practices, and trains a lot. I was never as serious about it. Obviously, I want to win. I want to be the best, but I don't take it as serious sometimes. And I think that helps with horse training. And Casey is very similar to that as well. He lets a lot kind of brush off of his shoulders, doesn't let things get in his head too much and let them bother him. So that fit my person. I think I'm somewhere in the middle, which is resulting in my program being somewhere in the middle, to where I'm a lot more carefree. I let those horses tell me how they want to do it a lot of the times. And I try to be less specific with them, but also my dad gets his horses, I think, the most broke out of anybody in the reining industry. And those methods, that idea of how to get that horse's body broken loose and their brain to really be with you, is stuff that I aspire to get good at and have my horses train somewhat the way my dad's do. So it's a mix of both. They both have great properties.
So when you were at Casey's, you got to ride some really incredible horses to kind of kick off your open career. Were there any that really stood out to you? I mean, you've competed at the Run for a Million. You have, you know, been a finalist at all of the major events in the very short time that you've been a professional. Was there a certain horse that you really kind of credit to kind of helping you step up your game into the open?
There's a handful of them for sure. When I became an open rider, my weakest area, the thing that I'd done the least, was train a three-year-old for the fraternity. So that first year, my three-year-old, her name was playing with the boys, and she is five now. She's a Spook Scott Wismare, and I got that opportunity from my fiance. Her family owned the horse, and they wanted to make a change with where it was at. This was in the summer of her three-year-old year, and that's when I took over, and I learned a ton. I learned a ton about training. The program change took a little bit with her. There were a couple months there where I was unsure on pretty much everything I was doing. So going through that difficulty and learning from that was huge. And then as far as publicly in my career goes, she's won over 180,000 now, I believe. And we got top 10 at the fraternity with a big penalty. We could have been right up there at the top if it wasn't for that. And then as a four-year-old, she got third at the 100X Stakes, which is a really big show for us, marking a 227. So some really big scores that I hadn't marked before. And really, she taught me the most. other than that, my first year, there was a horse named Dream On Wiz, and he was incredible for me as far as he was dead broke, knew exactly what he was doing, and he had competed at that non-pro level for a while, but I got along with him really well and was able to take him to that next level, that open level, and he won the level 2 and 3 classes at the NRBC and the Derby, which are our major derbies. So that was really big and a great opportunity. And then there's, of course, a bunch of others. Mr. Abracadabra is probably the last notable one. He took me to that highest level in the level 4. He qualified for the Run for a Million, and then in the Run for a Million got second, which he was kind of an underdog and a dark horse going into it. So obviously we all knew he was a great horse, but we didn't necessarily know that he'd be up near the top. So that was a really big moment for me. And those three horses, I would say, are the three that come to mind as far as teaching me, making me better, and putting, making me look good in the public eye.
Let's talk about the Run for a Million for a minute, because yes, you competed, you were second, which is incredible. But you also, I mean, this is such a prestigious event and only a handful of riders get to compete in it, but you were competing against your employer and your dad. What was that like?
It was really cool. Kind of like I talked about before, everyone was rooting for everybody in that scenario. Casey gave me Mr. Abracadabra, the horse that I showed. So if it wasn't for that opportunity that Casey was kind enough to give me, I wouldn't have been there in the first place. So obviously you're rooting for him. He gave me all those opportunities. He was on a great horse himself. And then my dad, obviously from afar, we were in Texas and he was in Arizona, but he's been second at that event multiple times. And I know he deserves to win it at some point. It's such a hard event to win. The stars have to align so perfectly for something like that. But he's been close, and he was close once again. So we want him to do good, and Casey the same. So to me, for me to have been able to be in a finishing position above both of them was pretty cool for me. Just, I've taken so much from them. That's where I've learned almost everything I know is from those two guys. So for that to have been able to accumulate to a finish that was better than theirs on that night, it was pretty cool for me. And just to be able to prove that what I've learned and what I'm working on is good enough to be at the top. So it was a cool moment.
And like, for those who maybe aren't as familiar with the reining industry, you are still in your early 20s. Like, to be able to do all of this, I mean, so young and such a major career ahead of you yet is just incredible.
Yeah. Being only 20, it makes it hard, because given my success in the Chopin so far and all those blessings, I have a lot of opportunities now where a lot of great young horses coming up and a lot of incredible clients behind me. And being only 20 years old, you know, there's so much to learn. So especially being so young in the industry, it's you have to have that fair balance of learning, getting better, having mentors that help push you, as well as that confidence of being confident in yourself, knowing that you've gotten to where you are for a reason, and making it work in the show pin and learning at the same time. So it's definitely difficult, but it's also a huge blessing to be in this situation.
Well, and at such a young age, you are now, you have moved back to Arizona. You are operating out of the same place as your dad, correct?
Yeah. Yep. My dad's ranch.
So you have Luca Fapani Performance Horses now. When did you decide that it was time to kind of go out your own and start your own business?
After those couple years at Casey's and what I learned and the success I had, a lot of opportunities were starting to come up as far as the horses that I was riding, the mares that my fiance's family, the Nybergers, own, their babies were starting to come of age. So those were mine to train, not necessarily Casey's. So I had those opportunities, as well as some people reaching out saying, hey, when the time comes, we'd love to own a horse with you, stuff like that. So once enough of those opportunities came and I felt ready in my training, I felt that I could do it on my own. I felt that I didn't need as much help as I had earlier in my career. I felt that I was ready to go, and there was the door open and I had to walk through it. So this year, 2025, is my first year on my own completely. And I still get to train with my dad, which, like I've talked about, I don't think that you can stop learning, especially at such a young age. You have to keep pushing yourself, keep experienced mentors in the area. So being able to ride with him and still learn in that way is great. But then also having the benefits of having a full barn for myself to show, a little bit deeper of a string, for the year's shows. There's so many shows now that you need to have a good amount and you need to have the best of the best in order to compete. So I'm blessed with some really great horses, great clients, and a great mentor that hopefully it all comes together to have, be a great year.
Let's talk a little bit about what the experience has been like, you know, going out on your own. Like you said, you have to obtain those clients and those horses and finding horses for clients. You're not just working under someone who is providing right. these horses for you. What's that been like?
It's definitely a process. I was lucky enough, as far as just starting the business in general goes, that I was able to put away enough money with my winnings that I was able to get all the supplies, all the bridles, the equipment. I mean, it's so much when you actually look into it that for a young trainer, if you don't have that early career that I was lucky enough to have, it's going to take a lot more thought and saving up. So for those people early on, I would definitely suggest saving as much as you can. Even though I was winning a lot in the show pin, most all that went away because I went away into savings because I knew what was to come. So I was lucky enough to have that money saved where I could buy all the equipment and we weren't struggling in that way. I had some great sponsors between Pro Choice, got me all of my boots, pads, equipment, as well as other sponsors that just kind of kept me going. So that was a huge blessing. And then as far as the clients go, I was really lucky to have a handful of them that wanted to support me off the rip. The Nybergers have been the biggest one. They've given me mares and their babies year after year that I've been lucky enough to have success on, as well as a handful of other great ones that have a couple horses with me. My thought in opening my business was that I want to get a group of really good clients that trust me and I trust them, and them have multiple horses and me put all of my focus onto this group of horses. So we have 25 in training, which is smaller than a lot of other level four barns, but I've turned away a lot of horses because I want to give the horses that I do have the best possible value and the best effort I can give for them. So for those clients, I've really tried to keep it small so I can take care of them the best I can. Going forward, I really want to ride those babies of the mares that I've had success on. So a large deal that I'm doing is making sure that I sell those horses within the barn to those good clients that want to be my clients. So it's really a tight-knit program. It's a lot based off of my history and those horses that I've had success on that I'm trying to build on top of. It's different than others, but I really like the way we're doing it, and hopefully we can continue it and do it well.
Well, and 25 is still, that is more than plenty to keep you busy, especially, right. I mean, since you are just out on your own, I'm sure you are, you know, some of those other guys who have twice as many have assistants and right. you know, people who are grooming. I mean, it's, you know, the larger the program, the more staff it takes to kind of keep yes. everything going. So what's it been like? Do you like having that smaller program where you're kind of hands-on with everything?
I definitely like that part of it. Like, I get to see pretty much every horse get rode every day. I myself ride more than half of them, and I have a really good assistant right now that's helping me keep them saddled and keep them coming to me. And then there is another rider on my team, Sam Stevens, and he's doing a great job on the two-year-olds. He's really good with non-professionals and kind of keeping those type of horses going. So that's it. That's the team. And then Peyton, my fiance, of course, does all kinds of help from the office all the way to coming in to help the vet and just making sure things are organized. So between the four of us, we keep those 25 horses going, and it's definitely a lot of work. We're there early and stay till past when most people in the real world would work, but everyone on the team loves horses, loves reining, and that's what makes it worth it. So I definitely enjoy being able to give those clients and those 25 horses the best possible shot I can give them. Whereas in some of the bigger programs, inevitably a horse can get lost here or there just because there's only so many hours in the day a guy can keep their eyes on them.
Absolutely. So education has obviously become a big part of what you're doing. You were a part of the Long for the Ride symposium that your dad put on in Las Vegas. You have a video program that you're curating. You're very busy on social media. I highly recommend people check out your social media because you're posting some really cool stuff there. You know, what does that mean like to you? Do you enjoy that kind of educational part of it?
Yeah, to me, growing the sport is such a big responsibility of the professionals. And it would be so easy to not do any social media and just ride our horses at home and not teach and do those things. But that's what's going to grow the industry. And that's what to me is almost paying back to an industry that supports my life. So I love trying to get information out there for people that isn't normally out there. My subscription service at lucafapani.com, it's a lot of reining, but also it's a lot of stuff that you can tie in with just riding your horse in general. We have stuff on there about, there was this 1 3-year-old that came into me for a few weeks that was really untrained and really wanted to run. And I mean, how many people have a problem with a horse that just wants to go? So being able to record moments like that and put them on the service to where people can see how a professional would handle it, as well as countless other things, reining, starting 2-year-olds, all that stuff that's taken me so long to learn is really important to me. Because when I was starting, I mean, I was lucky enough to have the real life mentors, but for the stuff that I wasn't as good with, or like my dad wasn't necessarily specializing in colt starting when I was wanting to learn that, when I went online, there's a little bit of stuff with some guys out there, but there's definitely not a lot. So I, noticing that and dealing with that when I was trying to learn, I wanted to just have a platform where people could learn, become better, and just have that access to where they can grow, even if they don't have the resources that some people are luckier to have. So that's a really big deal for me. The social media, I think, is just, once again, growing the sport, getting people to see what we do. I think TikTok and the Instagram Reels have been so big in allowing us to reach people that don't actually follow us. It's people that just might have interest in horses or animals and potential people that might love reining. So me pushing that and putting cool stuff out there that hopefully people enjoy, people can get close to the program. It's just all a matter of building the love for the sport, hopefully building my brand and having a strong group of supporters.
No, that's great. I am Equine Media, and that is my first thing foremost, is trying to get that out to new people and getting more people involved. So I really appreciate hearing trainers who are very busy with, you know, their actual full-time job, giving, you know, time for those who maybe aren't as familiar with the industry or just looking for that knowledge that they might not have access to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a pain, obviously. When I do film for that subscription, it's at least an entire day, if not two, that kind of throws off my schedule, and we're doing a lot of videos and not getting all of our horses rode, maybe. But you make that up on the weekend and you sacrifice that in order to help the sport. So that's my thought behind it.
So let's talk really quickly about the Along for Ride Symposium. Was that your first time doing like a clinic type environment?
Yes, that was my first time as far as like a big crowd of people teaching that stuff besides my online stuff.
How was that? What was it like kind of doing something? You guys were out there. I am currently, so we are putting some of the videos on our platform called Ride TV, and I am going through, it was like 8 hours a day of content. You guys were busy.
Yeah. I think I was groomed for that quite a bit just because I've watched a lot of clinics. I've learned from a lot of people that are great clinicians. And then with my subscription service, I have a lot of practice of talking through what I'm doing. So I take to that kind of stuff pretty naturally. I like teaching. I like talking to people. I like having myself out there. So I enjoyed it. I enjoy times where I can spread that knowledge to people that maybe don't get the chance too often. We were able to go through a lot of different methods and a lot of different scenarios with those horses. Like you said, I started that colt in the round pin live, which was my first time doing, which was a little bit nerve wracking, but thankfully the skills showed through and we got a ride on him, which was really cool. And then beyond that, I mean, we went through all the steps of a little bit of the 2-year-old a couple months in to the 3-year-olds, to the derby horses, everything. So being able to do that was cool and learn from those other guys that were there that are obviously very experienced and talented horsemen. It was all a good experience. And definitely a lot to learn from it.
I had a chance to talk with Bud after, you know, he was also part of it. And he said that the people who were there were just so passionate about the horses and just were so excited to learn from you guys. So it sounded like it was just a great success.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple professional horse trainers up there, which always means a lot to me. I respect that a lot when people kind of put the ego down and they'll go watch other people. I try to do that as much as I can, as I've kind of talked about throughout this podcast, of your ego can never be too small in this. You need to be able to learn from everybody. There's something to learn from every single person you watch, in my opinion. So being able to put that down and having those people come in and watch and hopefully learn something. And I mean, there were guys that I talked to after where I learned something from them. So having all those people come together, enjoy the sport, enjoy Western sports in general is a really cool deal.
Awesome. All right. So you are out on your own for the first time, 2025. What are your goals as a rider and a business owner for the year?
My goals this year, a large thing that I'm focusing on is my 3-year-old program. I've had a lot of success in the derbies the last couple of years, and of course I want that to continue, but I don't have as much experience with the fraternity horses because I haven't been doing it enough years to have as much experience as the other guys. So I'm really putting the time in on my 3-year-olds this year for our fraternities, and reining the fraternities are, to me, the biggest part. They start in August usually, and then the big final NRHA fraternity is in the end of November, early December. So I really want to make sure that I keep working on them and getting them broke as the derbies early in the year go on. And then I really want to build a strong group of 3-year-olds that hopefully have a lot of success in the pre-fraternities as well as the NRHA fraternity itself. So that's a big thing I'm focusing on this year. And then in general, just taking care of those clients, building relationships. I'm really involved in the breeding of the horses that I ride and kind of the next generation. So continuing to breed them, get them on the ground, good looking, impressive babies that we're able to sell within the program to great homes. That's one of my favorite parts of it. So building the program from the ground up, the breeding all the way to the training, taking care of those horses as best as I can, and hopefully having those results show up in the show pen is what I'm after.
Now you do have, you've promoted it on social media. You have some pretty cool horses that are currently in your barn. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of your big hitters for this year?
Yeah. So the new one and most exciting one to a lot of people is 007, also called Bond. He is a spectacular athlete for sure. It's hard following somebody. With Gabriel, he had so much success. He marked 28, 29, 30 regularly. So to know that that horse has that in him and now I have the opportunity to ride him myself. Obviously, there's always that shift in programs that we're going through right now. So I'm just trying to get to know him as good as I can. We're going to school him a little bit early in the year and then most likely debut at the NRBC in April. So he's really exciting and awesome to ride. And the Vargo family gave me an incredible opportunity to ride that horse. And then other than that, there's some ones that I've already shown that are really special to me. Playing with the Boys is back for another season, and she'll go show at some of these early derbies, the NRBC, potentially the Run for a Million qualifier. There's a mare named Trashy Dreams that is 7 now, so this is her last derby year, but she is 100% one of my favorites. We went from $0 in earnings 2 years ago to roughly $80,000 now. So she's been really good, and we want to add to that, keep getting her up there, and we're riding her first 2-year-old this year. So that's kind of the first step in that process of riding the babies of the horses I love. So we're going to show her for one more year in the derby stuff, and then as far as 3-year-olds later in the year, I've got some really good ones that I'm hoping can get broke and get good to show. We have a Spooks Got a Whiz stud out of the Great Mare Stop Little Sister that we're hoping to show later in the year, as well as just a handful of other good ones. So I'm really excited for them. I've got a great Derby string in those couple of horses that I mentioned. So just a lot of great opportunities that I'm hoping I can capitalize on.
Well, before we let you go, can you go, you've already dropped your website, so people know where to find you there, but can we get your handles for your social media so people can follow along?
I'm Luca Fapani Reigning on pretty much all of the media platforms. It's a LucaFapaniReining. So that's our social media. It's pretty consistent throughout. We have TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We're starting to do a little bit of YouTube. So definitely trying to reach as many people as we can through that. And then my website's just lucafapani.com. You can learn about the program, learn about our subscription service that we've had a ton of positive feedback on so far, and overall just kind of learn more about what we're doing. So we're really excited to offer it, and we're hoping that it can just keep growing with time.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for jumping on here and talking with us. We're super excited to follow along with you this year, and I'm sure it'll be nothing but great things.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be on this podcast where so many other great horse people have been. So I'm in good company, and thank you for the opportunity.
Once again, we'd like to thank League of Legends Invitational Horse Sale, brought to you by Turner Performance Horses, for sponsoring this episode of The Ride. Thank you guys for tuning into The Ride Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Horse and Rider Magazine on social media and find us at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. And if you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We want to hear from you guys. And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.